I think I'm supposed to say good evening.
Say good morning.
Roy always does. I'm trying to learn from him. Sorry for what Noah had to say about my Sunday evening sermons. I have never preached a special sermon myself, but I do try every time that I get up in front of a crowd of people and open up the book that is the special book to let it say what God meant. And any time that we look into anything that God has to say, it's eternal life if we listen. I'd like to begin tonight with prayer. Father, thank you for the people who you have allowed to be well and be here this evening as we open up your word. Thank you for everybody who has put so much effort into this weekend of meetings. Thank you for Roy and Jerusalem and their ability to be here with us. We ask now that as we open up your word, you would bless us very greatly, that your Holy Spirit would speak into the hearts of the people that are here. And Father, I pray that you would settle our hearts to be what you want us to be tonight. Amen. All right, tonight we're going to look at a very simple subject of nature, the cow and the skunk. And we're going to look at, after we look at these two animals, we're going to look at some Bible verses, some passages, that these two animals, if we look at, will help to represent what God means when he talks on this subject. Help us to get a little bit of an understanding. My goal tonight, because I'm a very evil person, my goal tonight is to take every person who is in this room who professes to be a Christian and help them to understand how to have a clean break with everything that comes from the devil. Christians have a very hard time doing that. All over the country today, we have Christians. We have the lost people doing it too, who are filling up churches pretending to be Christians, but I'm not talking about them tonight. I'm talking tonight about Christians. We have Christians all over this country who do not have an understanding of what is of God and what is not of God. And any time that you have a Christian life who accepts things into their lives that is not of God, it wreaks havoc of their spiritual life. It destroys their home, it destroys their children, it destroys their ministry, it destroys their usefulness, and it destroys their reward that God has promised to them. One of the things that I experience over and over again in speaking to young people especially and begging them not to live for the world. One of the things that I experience hearing from them all the time is they want to make comparisons. So tonight I'm going to do it for them. They want to make comparisons about why what they are doing is okay and the same as the godly things that we all believe in. So we're going to start tonight. I've gotten most of a page written out here, and I could have written much, much, much more if I had been wanting to go into little details about what the cow and the skunk have in common. If you'll notice tonight, if you can see from as far away as you're sitting, they both happen to be standing in very grassy fields full of dandelions. Okay, that wasn't on my list. How are they alike? Okay, they're both animals. They're both black and white. They both have red blood. And they both have a heart that pumps that red blood. Now, if you want to know something, we just covered everything that should make those two animals identical. They're black and white. They have a clear understanding of right from wrong. There's no gray area there. They're black and white. And they've got a heart that pumps red blood that God created. And you know, the heart is what everybody says today. Everybody says it's what's inside that matters. Inside they've got a heart. And their blood looks the same. You'll notice that they both have tails. They both have fur. They both have heads. They both have eyes. They can both see. They both have ears. They can both hear. They both have noses. They can both smell. They both have brains. They can both think. They both have teeth. They both have a tongue. And they both eat good food that God made. They both digest their food. They both drink good water. They both reproduce. And they both nurse their babies. They both sleep. They both have four legs. They both have four feet. They both walk. They both run. They both stand. They both breathe clean air. They both live on God's earth. They both live on farms. And they both spray smelly liquid from under their tails. Now, you know what happens when you walk up to a person and says, well, I can tell you one thing that's different between the skunk and the cow. The skunk stinks. He sprays some smelly stuff out from under his tail. And you know, the cow does that too. Now, it's different, but it's smelly, and it comes out from under the tail. And if you want to say the skunk is bad, we can make the cow just as bad as the skunk. And you know what? When the skunk sprays its smelly liquid, it's a little bit. And when the cow pees, it's a river. They can make a pool on the ground in a matter of moments. And it does stink. What's different about the skunk and the cow? Why are they different? I'm going to give to you tonight how they are different in mainly two areas, though we'll touch on a third. In mainly two areas, they are different. And in those two areas, they are so different that it makes all the difference in the world. First, the cow lives in the barn. And the skunk lives under the barn. The cow is a creature of the day. The skunk is a creature of the night. Now, in God's creation, neither the cow nor the skunk are unholy. Okay, but as soon as we bring this comparison into the Christian life, it is a world of difference. The cow is a creature of the day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 and 6 says, ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We, Christians, are children of light. We come to the light because we want our deeds to be made manifest, whether or not they are wrought of God. The skunk lives in a den. He digs under the barn. He lives in the darkness. He comes out. Some people say that he's nocturnal. He comes out at night. Some people say that's not true. He's actually some word that I can't pronounce if I wanted to. But he comes out at dusk. they say. And it makes him a little bit more compared to what we have who is not a Christian but is a professing Christian. They make a claim to have the light, but they don't want all of it. They'll take a little bit, but they don't want the full light of day. Now there's another thing that we won't go over a lot tonight, but there's another difference between the cow and the skunk. The cow eats good food. The cow eats fresh food. The cow eats grass. The cow eats grain. It's fresh, clean food. The skunk is willing to eat garbage. Now the skunk, remember now, this cow and the skunk are a lot alike. And the skunk likes good clean food too. In fact, if you would like to, if you've got a skunk out in your yard, and you would like to, you can probably set out a cake covered with beautiful frosting, something that anybody in this room would eat, and he'll come and he'll find it, and he will be very happy to eat it. But the next day, if you've been peeling your carrots into a pail, and you've been throwing your rotten strawberries into that pail, and you've been taking your disgusting, mushy lettuce leaves that you pick out of your salad bowls and throwing them into that pail, and you've been dumping your eggshells in that pail, and you've been throwing your rotten meat in that pail, and you take that pail of garbage after it sat on your counter for a week because you're too lazy to take it out, and you go dump that in the woods, that will attract any skunk anywhere in the area immediately. Because he likes that kind of food. And lastly, number three, the cow is a servant to the farmer. And the skunk does as he pleases. If you probably can't see from where you're sitting, the cow has a mark. The cow has a tag in the ear. He has belonging. Somebody owns him. There's no tag in the skunk's ear. He owns himself. He does what he wants when he wants. You know, the cow has a fence. If the skunk happens to live on the same farm as that cow, the skunk has a fence too. But the skunk doesn't care anything about the fence. He goes through it anytime he wants to. He has no boundaries. He has no master. He comes and goes when he wants. He eats what he wants. He does as he pleases. And I want to tell you something about the cow that is very unique and is nearly a perfect picture of what a Christian should be. The cow only has one single purpose for existence. One single purpose. The cow gets up in the morning and she likes good food and she likes clean water and she likes to be milked. And that is her only purpose for existence. She eats and drinks and gets milked and eats and drinks and gets milked. And eats and drinks and gets milked. And eats and drinks and gets milked. That's her life. That's it. That's the only thing the cow ever does. You know what else? She's happy. Cows that are raised on a good farm that get to eat and drink and get milked are happy. They like what they do. In fact, they're quite excited to get up in the morning and head out of the barn and head out to the pasture. And they will spend their day out there munching the same thing that they ate for the last how many years. And they're happy. And you know when it's time to go to the barn and get milked? The farmer doesn't have to go out there with a rope and drag them in. They go in of their own accord. In fact, you'll see on many farms, before it's time for milking, they know. They're standing waiting at the door of the barn. waiting for the farmer to come out and open the door so that they can walk into their stalls and be milked. And you know, the farmer never gets anything out of that cow at all besides milk. That's it. The cow doesn't do anything else for the farmer. Nothing. Just gives him milk. That's the only reason the farmer has the cow, is for the milk. As we go and we look further at what happens in Christianity tonight, when the cow decides that there isn't any difference between the cow and the skunk, the cow gives up the milk. Its only purpose for existence. Now tonight, I'm not going to talk in great depth about contemporary Christian music or about the entertainment industry of Christians. But the reason for this sermon tonight is entirely based on the fact that most Christians cannot make a logical discernment between what is good and what is garbage on that very subject. And tonight, what I hope to do is I hope to give you some principles that you can actually look out over the sea of things that are being thrown at you constantly, and you can discern the difference between good and bad. In James chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." James says, God says, pure religion consists of two basic things, servanthood and separation. That's what the verse says. Visit the widows and the fatherless. Keep himself unspotted from the world. Servanthood and separation. That is the religion of Christianity. And those are the two things that we just saw that the cow and the skunk are completely different in. One is a servant. One serves no man. One is a creature of the light, and one is a creature of the darkness. While one eats good food and the other eats garbage. Now in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine." All right, we're gonna go directly to the subject of sin tonight. I have never listened to contemporary Christian music in my life. I've heard a couple songs in my life, but I have never, as a habit, listened to it. I have never owned a CD. I have never been a listener to Christian radio. I don't know a lot about it, besides the fact that I know garbage when I smell it. I know that much. I did a little bit of reading this week in preparation for this sermon. I did a little reading. And if any Christian who has half a heart to serve God would go and listen to what the public opinion of contemporary Christian music is, they would come to an immediate understanding that it is not of God. I'm not going to give you any names tonight, but I'm going to tell you about one girl who popularized contemporary Christian music many years ago. She's still alive today. She's still singing. She has sold many, many, many millions of albums. She sings Christian music. But she does not obey God. When it is convenient for her to do the things that she ought to do, she will do them. But there came a point in her life when half of Christianity was already kind of taken back by some of the things she was doing. There came a point in her life that she began to date a man who was married while she was married. She began to leave love notes for him in his golf bag. And this man's wife begged him, the man who she was dating, begged him to break up the relationship with this woman. And he refused. After a little while, after a year or so, they decided they were both going to get a divorce, which took them a couple of years because they were both very, very high up popular singers. And you got to be careful when you're in the public eye how you do things. So it took them a couple of years to get the divorce. And all the while that they are in the process of divorce with their husbands and their wives, they are in a dating relationship. Does the Bible say anything about that? Does the Bible say that they were adulterers and that no adulterer is going to heaven? And you know what happened? You know what happened historically, according to the internet, which can be wrong sometimes, but I'm assuming it was Wikipedia, so it's probably okay. You know what happened when all this took place? A whole bunch of the Christian radio stations who were playing her music quit. You know what that was? That was some skunks sneering at another skunk. That's all it was. Because the fact that they were playing her music when she was the kind of woman that she was proved that they were way more interested in popularity than the Word of God. There was nothing Christian about their decision. They did the thing because they did the thing that was going to be right in the public eyes because there was public outrage about what this woman was doing. But the funny thing of it is that was many, many years ago and she's still singing and she's still selling. Now I think Jesus was talking about her in Matthew chapter 7 when he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, just in case anybody gets the wrong idea from me, I believe in salvation, I believe in forgiveness of sins, and I believe if this woman who has been through this nasty divorce and has done all sorts of sin in her life, if she was repentant, she can be saved. She's not repentant. She's not repentant at all. She excuses what she did. She believes she did the right thing. She said it wasn't wrong. She said her relationship with her other husband was too painful. And she said she didn't realize it was so painful until she met this other man and found out what a good relationship was. No, she's a sinner. She's a sinner who's refusing to obey God, that's all. Anybody can excuse their sin if they want to. I want to tell you something about this passage we just read. Jesus said, "Whoever hears me and listens to my sayings," I will tell you who he's like. He's like a man who builds a house and he builds it on a rock because a storm is coming. There's always storms everywhere. And when the storm comes, it doesn't destroy the house because of the rock. And he said, "Whoever's hearing my sayings and isn't listening to me is like a person who builds a house on the sand. And when the floods came, the house falls. Now, I want to tell you something that is alike about those two houses. Okay, let's imagine that they both drove past Menards. And they went to the place where they could buy the highest quality lumber that existed anywhere. Let's imagine that they used the strongest boards that they could find for everything. Let's imagine that they built it much stronger than the standards that are required. Let's imagine that they built it for the worst of areas, did everything to get it ready for hurricanes. Let's imagine that they sided it with field stone, thick walls. And when they were done, you could walk into both of those houses and you could listen to the stories of the building process, and everything was identical. It was all the same. The houses looked the same. They were the same. There was only one thing different. What they built it on top of. And I will tell you guys right now, there is so much lack of discernment in Christianity today. There is so much lack of discernment. We look at different people, and they eat the same kind of foods, and they go to the same kind of churches, and they read the same Bible version, and they say the same things, and they believe in the same Jesus. And the list goes on and on and on and on about everything that is alike about these people. But many times there is one very essential thing different about them. And it only takes one essential thing. If you have rejected the words of Christ, you have rejected salvation. There is no hope for a person who has rejected the words of Christ. There is no life, and they cannot help you. Their music can't uplift you. Their music can't make you more spiritual. Let me give you the story of two different people. There were two men back in New Testament times that were friends. They spent time together. They walked together. They preached together. They healed people together. They fed people together. They traveled on ships together. They went into the temple together. They prayed together. One of their names was Jesus. And one of their names was Judas. And they both start with a J. And you know what? They died together. They both died sad deaths, perhaps on the same day. The Bible isn't specifically clear that I can tell what day Judas died, but it would appear that it was the very same day that Jesus died. They both died hanging. Judas went out and he preached the gospel. Jesus sent him. Judas went out and he healed people. Judas traveled with the other apostles. But there came a moment, at one time or another in Judas's life, we don't know when he went wrong. There came a moment in Judas's life that something that God said no about, he was unwilling. He was unwilling to deal with. And there came a moment in his life where 30 pieces of silver meant more to him than salvation through Jesus Christ. Now I want to talk to Judas for a minute. The week before he did this. Judas, I heard the chief priest and you had a conversation. What did you guys talk about? They want to pay me. I got a job offer. Judas, what did the chief priest want you to do? They want to know where Jesus lives. They want me to bring them to Jesus sometime. They want to have a conversation with him. How much is he going to pay you for that? 30 pieces of silver. Judas, do you think that job opportunity is wholesome and right? me tell you something. I don't really appreciate you Bible preaching Christians. It's right for me to work a job. It's right for me to earn money. The chief priests are God's people. They are the ones who know the scriptures and who work in the temple. They've made me a job offer. It's none of my business if what they do is right or wrong. And besides that, if they mean any harm to Jesus, he's plenty able to take care of himself. I will tell you almost for certain, if you had had a conversation with Judas the week before he betrayed Jesus, he didn't think that they were going to kill him. He didn't think that what he was going to do was going to cause the trouble that it did. He defended what he was doing. He said, I'm a servant of God. But he wasn't. He was covetous. He wanted money. And he was willing to take money if it meant he do wrong. He was willing to take money if it meant he betray his Lord. And there came a day that those two people died. One of them met with the judgment of God upon death, and the other of them accomplished the salvation of the world. They were too much alike to die so different, but they did. They died that different. That was sin. Now let's look at the cow is a servant, and the skunk serves himself. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 says, Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. I could read this whole chapter. I could read the next whole chapter. In fact, we could finish the book of Isaiah, if you guys wanted to stay here for a while, talking about all the different things that Jesus Christ was going to do, who this prophecy is about, in verse 1 of chapter 42, when God says, Behold my servant. Behold my servant. Now in John chapter 13, we get a picture of this servant. It says, Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Jesus, the Bible says, was a servant. Jesus, the Bible prophesied in the Old Testament, he was a servant. When Jesus came to the earth, he was a servant. Philippians chapter 2. We'll read it again. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He came and took upon him the form of a servant, the Scripture says. And the Scripture says at the same time, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you, you. Whoever's sitting here who wants to be a Christian, let this mind be in you. I am a servant. Now I want to tell you something about our Lord. We're told in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the picture that Jesus Christ, our Lord, gave of God when He walked this earth is the way God has always been and will always be. God, though He be Lord of all, though He be Creator of everything, yet He has the heart of a servant. That's what His makeup is. He's made out of servant material. That's what God is. Jesus showed us God. And in Luke chapter 12, we see Jesus here speaking of the time to come after He returns, not as a servant, but as Lord of the earth, as King of kings and Lord of lords, when He comes to rule the earth. We see in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, says, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." This is the King of kings and the Lord of lords that we know, that's coming back in power and glory someday to reign over the entire earth. And He is going to gather His servants together and sit them down and feed them. That's what He's going to do when He comes. That's our job right now as His people on this earth. That's our job. I'll read you a few more verses. "Jesus called unto them and said, Ye know that the princes exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." It was in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 23, He says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Now I want to tell you something, if you're willing to listen tonight. The Christian entertainment industry as we know it today is anything but servants. They are anything but servants. They are gods. They are the people that we idolize. They are the people that we worship. They are the people that have fans. They are the people who get together and hold rallies, and they charge for every person to come in and sit in a seat to hear them minister the gospel. They sing the gospel, but you have to pay to hear it. And they go home with money in their pockets that make everyone in this area look like poor men. And they live for themselves. And the Christian world out here is buying their CDs and telling everybody that they are lifted up, that they are brought into the presence of God, that they are encouraged by listening to the garbage that comes out of their CD player. Actually, they're not. Actually, they are drawn away from the things of God by the entertainment industry. Now you say, well, I know certain people who sing contemporary Christian music that aren't that way. I wish you didn't. But let me talk about those people for a bit, because there probably are some of those. You know, we talked earlier in this session about skunks and the fact that they eat garbage. But you know what? There is some skunks who don't eat garbage. They're in the picture. Can you see these little babies? You know, the only thing they do is drink milk. But they're skunks. They're skunks because they belong to the skunk family. They will always and only and ever be skunks. They are in an industry that is set to serve man. They are in an industry that doesn't listen to the teachings of the Scripture. They are in an industry that lifts up man instead of humbles man. They are in an industry that doesn't listen to what God says about sin. They are in an industry that is there for money. And you say, I know. I've heard some of these singers. They go around and they are servants and they don't charge. They go from church to church and they sing. But what comes out of their mouth is garbage. And they got it from the big singers who are leading them astray. They're just baby skunks. But they're skunks. Did you ever stop to listen to the conversation between a skunk and a cow? There was one time a cow. There she is. And there was a skunk. And they lived together on the same farm. One day, the skunk came up to the cow. And it said to the cow, "Have you ever been upset with the farmer for his fence? Have you ever walked up to the fence and looked at all the good and luscious things on the other side of the fence?" And the cow said to the skunk, "Yes, I've seen that many times, and in fact, I have desired the grass that's on the other side of the fence nearly every day. Nearly every day that grass that's growing over there looked very appealing to me, but there was a fence between me and it that I won't go over." And the skunk said to the cow, "What a fool you are. You weigh over 1,000 pounds. Jump up and dump and trash that fence. Kick it over. Get that fence destroyed and get over there and eat." The cow said, "No, I don't do that. I'm here for the farmer, and the farmer wants me in this field. And you know what? I am very happy here anyway. And in spite of the fact that there is good grass over there, there's so much good grass in this fence, we're walking on it. I eat every day here, and I'm healthy and happy." And the skunk said to the cow, "Would you mind if I just brought you a little bit of that grass through the fence for you to taste?" The cow was fine with that. So the skunk scurries under the fence. And he goes and he picks a couple mouthfuls of grass and he comes running back and he hands it to the cow. And the cow eats it. And he says, "You know what? That grass was just exactly the same as the grass on this side of the fence. There's nothing different." But there was something different, because it came from the skunk. And the cow just took a step downhill that's going to destroy her. Because that night when she went back to the barn and all the other cows were in the barn after the farmer had gone inside, they were having their usual mooing session. And the cow said to the other cows, "Do you know what happened to me today? I got to taste grass for the first time from the other side of the fence. It was just like the grass we eat." And the skunk said that we could be friends. I had a very encouraging and uplifting conversation with the skunk today. It was very edifying, and that grass has gone into my stomach and being digested now is going to create more good milk for the farmer. And I think we should all get to know the skunk. And so the next day, the cow leads all the rest of the herd back out to the skunk. And the cow says to the skunk, "The other cows would like to try the grass from the other side of the fence too." And so the skunk begins to carry back mouthful after mouthful after mouthful of grass from the other side of the fence. And the cows are all tasting it, and it's good. Good grass. But the skunk is still a skunk. And after a day of doing that, the skunk has become the hero. The skunk is popular now. The skunk is the one who is now being looked to for food, even though the farmer still has a field of grass. The skunk is now being looked to feed the cows. And the skunk comes up with a very wise solution to making a better life for itself. If it's going to service the cows should service him. Make sense? And so the skunk says to the cow, "I have other skunk friends, and we would love to set up a market here for you guys every day and feed you guys. But there's one thing we're going to need. We're going to need a little bit of pay. We'll take your milk. You give us your milk, we'll feed you." Now the cows have become friends. They have esteemed the skunks as like them, and the food that the skunks are producing as like their food. And now the skunks are on a daily mission to feed the cows. And they go out and they gather grass, and they gather rotten mice, and they gather every kind of garbage that they can. And it just so happens that one of the places that's easiest to find plenty of food happens to be the city dump. And back and forth they go all day long, hauling the food through the fence. And the cows are selling their milk to the skunks to be fed the skunks' garbage. You know what happens now when they go back to the barn? Their milk doesn't taste good anymore because they're not eating good, clean food. And pretty soon, they don't even have any milk. It's been used up on the devil's kingdom. The cow is a servant of the farmer. The skunk serves himself. Can I tell you something about what the farmer does for the cow? You know, the farmer feeds the cow every single day. We do not need the world's or the unspiritual church's garbage. We don't need their entertainment. We don't need their books. We don't need their movies. We don't need their CDs. We don't need their conferences. We don't need their camps. We don't need their fun. We don't need anything that anybody has to offer unless that person is sold out to Jesus Christ. We don't need anything that costs any money, because the food that God gives to His people is free. Listen as I quote some of the scripture here. Psalm 23. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." The cow can say that about the farmer. My soul shall be satisfied, Psalm 63, as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Psalm 107, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Isaiah 25, and in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto his people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. Isaiah 1, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Isaiah 55, ho, everyone that is thirsty, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come, yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Isaiah 58, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make thy bones fat. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Ezekiel 34, and I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Isaiah 44, for I will pour water on him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Joel 2, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Matthew 22, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them which were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Luke 14. Then he said unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they with one consent began to make excuse. John 7. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 4, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Revelation 7, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. There is nothing on earth that is more satisfying to the soul of a human being than knowing God and drinking at nothing but His Word. There is nothing more satisfying on earth as being the servant of God and eating His food only. There's nothing more satisfying on earth than being in the middle of the battle, where sin is your only enemy, and you have given your life away to Jesus Christ. There is nothing more satisfying than the things that God gives to a human being. We don't need the world and their garbage. We don't need their entertainment. We don't need their fun. We've got our own fun, and it's much better. Let me read you a couple of things. George Mueller, you guys all know George Mueller. At one point in his life, though he did not work a job, and though he took care of 10,000 orphans in his lifetime, he built 5 large orphan houses. They were beautiful buildings that if you were to attempt to build today, you would be looking at many, many millions of dollars. Listen to what he said. To one who asked him the secret of his service, he said, "There was a day when I died, utterly died." And as he spoke, he bent lower and lower until he almost touched the floor. Died to George Mueller, his opinions, preferences, taste, and will. Died to the world, its approval or censure. Died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends. And since then I have studied only to show myself approved unto God. How many of you guys think George Mueller lived a fun and fulfilling life? How many of you guys want 10,000 children? How many of you guys think that George Mueller never had... how shall I phrase it? Let's say he just had fun all day long, every day. You know, there was a time in his life, he was sitting in his study, and out the window, his grandchild was playing in the garden. It was morning. And somebody walked into his room, his study, and they said to him, "Mr. Mueller, there's hundreds of kids all ready for breakfast. And there is nothing left. We do not have anything at all to feed them this morning." Now, after a long life of walking with God every single day, after a long life of prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer being answered, he got to know God. If that happened to you right now, if you were in a situation where you had hundreds of kids to feed, you had no job, you had no bank account, you had no money, and there was no food in the house, and somebody came to you and said, "There's no food," you'd probably freak out. But you know what George Mueller did? He said, "Oh, this is an opportunity for my grandchild to see God answer prayer." And he got up out of his study and he walked out the door and he went to the garden and he talked to this little girl and he said, "Come with me." And they went into the building. And there in rows of tables, child after child after child had been seated at the table for breakfast when there was no food to feed them. And he prayed and he thanked God for the food. And he said, "Amen." And I can't remember all the details of the story, but within moments after that prayer, bread and milk came in the door, enough for breakfast to feed that whole room. I can't even remember how the bread came in. I forget now. I remember how the milk came in. There was a milkman going by with his horse pulling his wagon, and he had milk cans in the back, and he broke down right at the door. And he came and he knocked on the door and he said, "We broke down out here. Got somebody coming going to fix our wheel, but we need to go somewhere with this milk. I reckon you guys can use it." I suppose they could. You know, George Mueller had some fun in his life, but George Mueller was a servant. George Whitefield was a servant. George Whitefield, I believe, crossed the Atlantic Ocean 13 times. He preached in England and America. In fact, they say that he preached approximately 1,000 times a year for many years. Now, if you can do math, that averages around 3 times a day. He preached for many years. Listen to what George says. "Oh, that I was a flame of pure and holy fire, and I had 1,000 lives to spend in the Redeemer's service," he told Joshua Gee. "For the sight of so many perishing souls every day affects me much and makes me long to go, if possible, from pole to pole to proclaim redeeming love." Again, he said, "Had I 1,000 souls and bodies, they should all be itinerants for Jesus Christ." Hudson Taylor said, "If I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all to China." If I had 1,000 lives, I am having so much fun right now in the service of Jesus Christ. If I had 1,000 lives, I'd spend all 1,000 of them doing just what I am doing right now as a servant of Christ. There is a difference that is not even comparable between people like this who have given everything to God and the people of modern day Christianity who are living as gods among their fellow people, raking in the worship of mankind as they become stars in an industry that is calculated to destroy the church. They are not Christians. They are not going to heaven. They are not feeding the souls of the people of God. The cow is a servant, and the skunk does what he wants. Paul said, "If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." You're going to have to make a choice with your life as to if you are going to be somebody who does what man wants or somebody who does what God wants. You can't do both. If you're going to be a person who goes out and tantalizes men with entertainment, which does not fit in the Christian life in the beginning, if you want to be that kind of a person that goes out and tantalizes men and have them rave over you and become your fans and pay money to hear you, if you want to be that kind of a person, you cannot be the servant of Jesus Christ. You cannot be a Christian. If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And those of us who have given our lives to Christ, come what may, we will do anything for Him anytime, anywhere. I did that when I was 15 years old. I remember it like it was today. I had been struggling a little bit in my own life. I had been struggling with surrender to God. There came a day that I gave up, when I think maybe for the first time I understood the gospel, salvation by faith. I understood the work that Jesus had done for me, and I gave everything to God. And I will tell you the honest truth, because I am a human being in the flesh, I have had some trouble in life. But I have not had any more trouble in life than the average human being does. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you have $1 billion or if you have no money. I don't care if you're popular or unpopular. I don't care if you get to be the president or fry burgers at McDonald's. Everybody has trouble in life. I will tell you from 25 years of experience that I do not believe that there is more happiness to be found on this earth than being a servant of Jesus Christ. And I have rejected every form of entertainment that the world has offered to me. I have rejected all of it. I have, in fact, spit in their face. I hate their entertainment. I hate the movies they come out with. I hate the music they produce. It's garbage. I love the book we sing from. I love the hymns that honor Christ. I love the people who have given everything that they have to Christ. I love the people who are willing to burn out for Christ. I love the people who, like Epaphroditus in the New Testament, he worked so hard he got himself sick trying to spread the gospel. I like the people like Paul who didn't stop. I like the people who, like George Whitefield, he preached until he died, and he wished that he had 1,000 lives so he could give all 1,000 of them to Christ. Those are the kind of people I like. I have rejected the entertainment that the world has offered to me because I wasn't put here to be ministered to. I was put here to serve. We don't need entertainment. We have God's living water and we have God's bread of life in Jesus Christ. And it is the most satisfying thing that a human being can have. What is the difference between these people that as we look out over Christianity and we see people who are here for fun and we see people who are here for Christ? Let me just tell you one of the things that isn't different about them. Their doctrinal statements or their statements of faith. You can pull up their pages on their websites. You can get on the organization's sites. You can read what they say. And their statement of faith is something that we could write for this church. That's not different about them. I'll tell you another thing that's not different. We both believe in Jesus. Tell you another thing that's not different. We both believe the Bible is the Word of God. But I will tell you one thing. There is something different, and it is so different that the two cannot be compared at all. Because one is living for Christ, and the other is not. May God bless us with discernment. Shall we close in prayer? Father, let every soul that is in this room tonight love Jesus Christ more than anything else. Do bless us with an understanding of the bread of life and the living water that has been promised to every soul that will serve you. Bless us with an understanding. Father, bless us with a heart that is a servant's heart. Help us to understand our role in this life, that we are not here to be entertained. Help us to love you and serve you more than anything else. And Father, do purify your church and help us to clean our house out of the garbage that the skunks carry in. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.